You, Jesus. Oh, we glorify your name this morning. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, isn't he good this morning? Isn't he good this morning? Oh, I thank you, Lord. I'm going to speak to you from Matthew 8, 26. And I'm going to say, little faith or great faith? Little faith or great faith? And I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living. In Matthew 8, 26, it said, Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And suddenly there was a great calm. Now the disciples, they had witnessed many, many, many miracles, but they panicked in the storm. As experienced sailors, they knew its dangers. What they didn't know was Jesus could control the nature. He could control the wind. Hallelujah. We often encounter storms in our lives where we feel God can't or he's not going to help us. And we know God is able. We know he's able. We stand on that word. When we truly understand who God is, however, we will realize that he is in control both the storms of nature and the storms of a troubled heart. Jesus' power that calmed this storm can also help us. He can also help us deal with the problems that we face. And he is with us. We know that he's with us. Jesus is willing to help if we only ask him. That's the problem. We think about too many other things before we come to Jesus and ask him. We should never discount his power, even in the terrible trials that we may have. How do we grow from little faith of whiny Christians to a great faith of Christians who are strong in their faith? This is how. Every day that your mind is renewed in the Word of God, every day your soul is brought up to a higher level of faith-filled living. Your mind is more renewed in the Word of God today than what it was yesterday. We don't spoon-feed our children as we did when they were babies. Don't stop with the milk of his word. Eat the meat. Devour the bread of life. The more meat of his word that you digest, the stronger your faith will become. God expects us to mature and become strong in our faith. The stronger we become, the more glory we give him. Strengthen yourself in the word. Exercise your faith and go from whining in the boat to unwavering faith. This should be our prayer. We always talk about the Word of God. We need to hunger and thirst for more of God, for more of his Word. We need to feed our spirit that we would grow strong in the Lord. Exercise our faith through our trials and tests that it may be refined in the fire and become like pure gold. We have the victory, and we win. That is what we need to ask ourselves today. This is what we need to ask ourselves today. Little faith or great faith? This morning, I would like to think that we all want great faith. I know I do, and I'm going to believe that you do. I'm going to believe that you do. I know we're facing a lot of things in this world, a lot. But I know one thing, our faith will see us through. Our faith in the Lord will see us through. It will help us in a time of need. Our faith, we may not understand everything that's going on around us, but I'll tell you what, if you have hope and if you stand on his word and you know your faith will carry you through. Hallelujah. And I believe that with my whole heart, no matter what we're facing. We go through a lot of things, but I know one thing. If we mention, just like the song said, mention the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in His name this morning. Hallelujah. We got to remember those things when we're sick and when we're going through trials with our kids, our grandchildren, no matter what. We've got to remember there is hope. We have faith. We have great faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come to you this morning and we give you all praise and all glory. We thank you, Father God, for who you are and what you mean to us this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you touch your people this morning. Oh, God, how we need you. And we realize, God, without you, we can do nothing. We need you, Lord. We need more of you, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Father God, to touch your people this morning, Lord God. Let us lean upon you and trust in you and know, God, that you're our Savior. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Jesus. For the word of the Lord says to all who will hear, who will listen, and who will obey my words and my commandments, for they are truth and truth alone. I come to you today as a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I am the one that is able to accomplish and to see the things come to pass in your life, in all your lives. Today is the day of salvation. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Unto you this day I come and say, here I am. Seek me. Turn to me. Unloose those things which bind you and discomfort you. Allow me and my spirit to accomplish the divine intervention and miracles that my Son, Jesus Christ, paid in full. Let the Holy Ghost be the Lord of your life and accomplish the things that it can only be done by the power of God Himself, saith the Lord of hosts. Ola la ta ta si. Ola la ta ta ha sanda la la kata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With the activities and the things But God's still God. If that message speaks to you, that is on you. I'll take every bit of what God wants to give me and my family. I thought this weekend would be a little bit differently, but no. As I climbed into bed last night, I had my wife say, "Well, you know I don't have anything." Not bad for not having anything. But I thought she was going to preach my message. Because I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about where will you go with your troubles. In John chapter 6, verse 68, the word of the Lord says, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.'" In other words, Jesus, you got the answers. You got the hope. You got the strength. We sang one song that talked about grace. Grace is what we need each and every day. Grace is what makes us change. Because, you know, what we deserve is not what we get. And thank you, Lord, for that. But where will you go with your troubles? There's all kinds of troubles happening and going on around us. We understand that in these last days, in these end times that we're living in, and yes, we are living in the end times, you can look around us and see. There's evil all around us. I mean, it's just, I don't, you can't even put words on some of the things that are taking place, you know. And I don't want to get too gruesome, but just look at the sexual attacks and the deaths that have been done to women, so on and so forth. You know, homes being destroyed, not in water and fire, but being destroyed because the enemy is attacking. The enemy is coming at the nucleus of the family. God wants the family to be strong. Amen. Every family, not just one or two. I mean, if you look at Job 14, 1 and 2, it says, "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." Verse 2, "He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue." I didn't go back and try and figure out or pull up any statistics, because I'm sure statistics are changing rapidly in suicides in young people, suicides in ages 18 to 35 or 45, suicide in the veterans of those who served our country boldly and proudly, that there's no hope out there. But there is hope. His name is Jesus Christ. And a personal relationship with Him will fix everything. He can take a broken home. He can take a broken life. It depends on what you turn to. And yes, I'm talking to each and every one of us. We have to understand the answer to the question must be answered by you and you alone. Because there's lots of things that we can turn to in this world. And many people are. Young people are turning to illicit sex, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of relationships. But it's not in a pill. It's not in a bottle. It's not in a special relationship with how many boys or girls you can sleep with. It's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He paid the price. for your sins to be forgiven. And all you have to do is simply ask Him. We're full of trouble. You don't have to teach a 2-year-old how to lie about a cookie jar that got broken, or a lamp that got knocked off the stand in the living room and got broken. You don't have to try to explain that to a 2-year-old and teach him how to do that, or her. That comes naturally. That's called our sin nature. But understand this. Troubles will follow you no matter where you go. And it does not matter, because the devil doesn't like you getting a relationship with the Lord. Amen? He'll fight all the more for you as well. But we need to understand, man is not only haunted with the brevity of life, the shortness, but hounded and by the troubles that accompany this life. I'm not telling you anything new, but I do know that as the end times come closer to the end, He will turn up the heat upon the body of Christ. He will turn up the heat. Think about it. Some of the places we can't find people that will walk across the street to a revival service or a prayer meeting. Why is that? It's called commitment. It's called dedication. But yet they'll fill a stand or a coliseum for a basketball game, a football game. Wait till this afternoon and you see the NFL players going nuts and crazy. But think about this. God is still in control. God is still in control. People around us think that they have us under their thumbs. Fear is what keeps people from doing what they need to do and be obedient to God. Understand that all things will come together in the timing. Amen. Sometimes it seems like troubles follow us everywhere. There's troubles that are mental, such as fear of death, an accusing conscience, frustrations, disillusionment. The list can go on and on and on. But others have troubles that come through wayward children, domestic maladjustments, and marital disharmony. Some today are on the brink of suicide, or their home is about to be torn asunder because of trouble that seems to be so unsolvable. God has got it, what you give over to Him. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. And this is what I believe that the message in tongues and interpretation was all about. He simply says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is able to do what He said He would do. When we think about the things that we just need to lay at the foot of the cross, that's where we need to take our troubles. That's where we need to take our temptations. That's where we need to take our trials, our tribulations, and our burdens to Him. Lay it at the foot of the cross and let the blood cover. Let the blood cover and see what will happen. We call out to many things in this world, but we just simply need to call out to the Lord. You've heard me say this multiple times. All we have to do is cast all your cares on Jesus. Cast them on Him. 1 Peter 5:7. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Simplicity is the best avenue in your walk with God. We complicate things too much. I was talking to Crystal, I believe it was at the holidays. I said, it's kind of nice not shaking, but the surgeon told me at the time when he was talking to me, 98 to 99% effectiveness. I said, but you know, there's still that 1%, and guess where we focus on? 98%, 99% effectiveness for this surgery. Well, yeah, when it's your brain being probed, you think twice about it. But I had to keep continually, and poor Brother Richard, he's still got some time to wait. You need to pray for him. He's going through the same surgery that I just went through. So pray for him. Pray for that healing. Pray for that deliverance. I'm going to tell on you, brother. I really didn't need your permission, but thank you. You know me. Aaron, take care of my light work. The thing of it is, Brother Richard does not know anything other than the shakes. His whole life. I only had it like a year, year and a half, and it drove me nuts. I got an excuse now. You caught that real quick, Rosie. But think about all the things that we think about that does not ever happen. Think about the troubles that we carry with us. And how many times have we... I know people that anxiety comes, they get sick to their stomach, then they go into this, that, and the other. But we need to cast our cares. Those are our problems. Those are our situations. David said in Psalms 55:22, simply cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. I don't care what comes at you. Isaiah talks about no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen? Nothing that the enemy can come against us with will affect us. Never be moved. His righteousness is our strength. Amen. If every human source of help has failed, if you've tried to drink your troubles away, if you've sought pleasure in riotous living, if material things have failed to bring you satisfaction, then why not go to Jesus with your troubles? Because He invites you. Come. Come unto Me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen? God will make a way, as Sister Winona sang. Not long ago, I read a portion of Scripture in Psalms chapter 81, verse 6. Listen to this. I removed His shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. Leave that up there just for a second. This is one I know I've read, but never really contemplated or thought a whole lot about it. Because you get into a pattern when you're reading the Bible through in a year or whatever. You just read and you think, well, when I take time, some things I think, duh, why didn't I see that? I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. God was doing some things for him, the psalmist who wrote this. What was he doing? He was carrying him through the storm. I removed his shoulder from the burden. You think when you read that, that's kind of backwards. God should remove us from the burden. But he's already carrying the burden. He's got it. While you still try to struggle with it. He's got it. His hands were freed from the basket. God, what made him say that? He realized that all he had to do was free up God and say, no, God, I cast it on you. I cast it in your hands. I give it unto you so that you can deal with and know what it will take to deliver me, to set me free. And God said, who's free is free indeed. Yeah. Amen. God is saying that he removes us from many of the burdens that are weighing us down. In Psalm 77, verse 2, in a day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. Think about what we're doing. God is our refuge and strength. Psalms 46, 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Where are we going to take our trouble? To the Lord. Psalm 32, verse 7. Psalm 32, verse 7 says, you are my hiding place or refuge. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. You shall preserve me from my trouble. Trouble follows me everywhere I go. But yet I have victory over it. Psalm 37, verse 39. You ready for this one? Simple. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. His righteousness, our strength in a time of trouble. 54 verse 7, Psalms. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. I don't know about you, but I see the enemy being defeated. The destruction of our enemies. Amen. Throughout the Word of God, the whole Scripture deals with this matter of trouble. And mankind has the assurance that if he will take his troubles to the Lord, he shall be saved out of them. Psalms chapter 34, verse 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. What troubles are you facing? What troubles are you going through? Jesus says, just call on me. Take my yoke for it's easy and light. Amen. One thing that we need to realize is we should be just like Zacchaeus was in the New Testament. We need to invite Jesus Christ into your home. I don't know how truthful this statement is that I'm going to make, but some people I've read where every home in America has 17 on average Bibles. 17. If it was just half that, if they had just 10 Bibles, that's a lot of Bibles. When you got the answer to every question, every circumstance, every situation at your disposal, that's not counting all the phones that have apps on that you can read Scripture any time of day or night. We need to invite Jesus Christ into our home as Zacchaeus did. Love will be revived. Hate will fade away. Bitterness will pass away. And peace and happiness will once again be restored to your home. In other words, all you need is Jesus and a relationship with Him. The sign in my pulpit says, always open for business. He never slumbers nor sleeps, but He's always waiting right there for each one of us. A new day can dawn for you when you make Jesus Christ the head of your home and the supreme being of your life. We can't lose out on this, and I'm not getting political, on this momentum that we feel and sense in our country. We need to turn back to what the Word of God says. We need to turn back to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because it's only the cross and Jesus that makes the difference. Why? Because that paid everything in full. We're forgiven through the cross. He hears our prayers through the cross. I believe in those miracles that we have over there. Love never fails. Amazing grace is what we need. Don't allow yourself to be tossed about by the winds from the storm of this life and find yourself derelict and your home wrecked and your life shipwrecked. God is speaking and He's calling upon all of us in our world today to bring their troubles and cast them at His feet. Amen. Amen. Take your troubles to the Lord. Something so simple, Philippians 4:19. Is this a correct statement for you? My God. Who is your God? Is He Jesus Christ? Is He a bottle? Is He a pill? Is He this, that, or the other? Is it bitterness? Is it hate? Unforgiveness? Oh, our world is full of unforgiveness. It's crazy. I don't care how you voted. I'll still love you. I'll still break bread with you, brother. Right? People are not letting their kids and grandkids come to Thanksgiving dinners because of who they voted for. I can believe it. It's another sign of the time. Amen. Philippians 4:19. My God. He can be your God too, but it's my God who shall supply all my need. But you know what it is for? It's called because He loves me according to His riches in glory. Jesus is rich. And guess who I'm a joint heir with? I call Him Big Brother. My Lord and my friend. Amen. Our needs are supplied according to the riches of Christ Jesus in glory. The riches of heaven are inexhaustible. Its treasures are unfathomable. We can't even imagine what's in store for us in heaven. And your heavenly Father simply cares for you. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. In Luke chapter 12, verses 29, 30, and 31, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's also repeated in Matthew 6:33. All these things shall be added unto you. The things that you have need of, the troubles that need to vanish away, God already knows what He needs to do. But can I tell you something? He's waiting on you. Come unto me. Come unto me, Jesus is saying. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I know this hasn't been one of your more exciting messages, but Father, I know you're going to touch this voice and bring the strength back into the vocal cords. You're going to finish that work. But today, Father, it's about business here. I just pray that not one leave the same way that they walk in, but change them through a relationship with you, through the Holy Ghost grabbing a hold and just saturating them with your love and with your power. Today, Lord, is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed even this afternoon. But Father, we don't want anyone to slip into eternity and not know you as a personal Savior. So today, Father, I just surrender and I give over to your drawing spirit. Father, you know the ones that need that relationship, that need to rededicate maybe their relationship. Bring Jesus Christ back into the home, into the relationships, into the lives of those who believe in you. Today, Father, all things are yours. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if you would say, Pastor, I've tried to do this all on my self, and I'm getting weary and I'm getting tired. Well, Jesus is saying, here I've got it. Here I am. Cast it upon me, for I care for you. If that's you, would you step out and come forward? There'll be other ones that will come and pray. We'll ask the Lord to help, strengthen. But the important thing is that you know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, as a Lord, and as a friend. Oh, hallelujah.